Short disclaimer. This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 2 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander.
So let's start with the most recent casting announcements.
We had a couple this week, actually. Mm-hmm. And they were on the same day. It seems like they come out in pairs recently. Because first it was Jamie, and then it was Blackjack Randall, and then it was Mrs. Fitz and Angus Moore, and then this week
I think it's actually Angus Vore. But
good lord, I don't speak Gaelic.
Neither do I much, but...
So this week we had Dougal McKenzie and Colin McKenzie announced, and they were announced as Graham McTavish and Gary Lewis, respectively.
Or, if you're Scottish, Graham. Sorry.
It's all right, I'm not Scottish.
No, neither am I, so...
So when the castings first came out, I looked at Graham McTavish, because when I read the books, I was always a little attracted to Dougal. I think that he was supposed to have at least a modicum of appeal, if you will. And I looked at the picture online, and at first I was like, ugh, I don't know if he's... I'm like, I'm going to believe in you, Stars. I'm going to go with whatever you cast. But my initial reaction was kind of like, ugh, I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, the more I look into those smoldering blue eyes, the hotter this man becomes. I don't know why, but...
Okay, let me just remind you, this, not just this episode, this entire podcast... Well, not go beyond PG, so hot is, we can leave it at that.
Look, I kept it PG.
Yeah, okay, I appreciate
my point.
That.
Anyway, that being said, Graham McTavish was recently was seen as Dwalin in The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, one of the dwarves, I believe. And Gary Lewis is best known, I think, for Billy Elliot and Gangs of New York, but he was recently in First Light with Sam Heughan.
Yes, he was.
Our Jamie. I think we neglected Sam Heughan last week. I think we mentioned him, but then we kind of threw him away.
Yes, that man, at Heughan, is quite cheeky and teases. He likes to tease.
He does. But I will say that when they first, you know, said they were going to do the show, I was kind of like, how are they going to find some guy who looks like Jamie in my head? Mm. And I was like, there's not an actor out there that I've ever heard of or seen that fits in my head what Jamie should look like. And then they cast Sam Heughan. And I looked at his picture, and I was like, they found him. By God, they found him. They found the man that fits what I thought Jamie looked like when I read Outlander.
Well, apparently DG was in vapors a little bit, too. She was very pleased.
I mean, I haven't even seen him, like, act it yet. But, yeah, like, he just...
That's true.
He just embodies what I thought Jamie should look like in my head when I was reading.
Yes, I agree. I don't think we mentioned this. I mentioned this last week, but I think if I had been asked which character I thought would be either the hardest to cast or the most difficult to cast, I definitely think I would have said Jamie, and I think they hit it on the nose. I think they got it just right. But as I have told you before, I know we're not talking about Claire right now, but once we knew, or since we've known we were safe with our Jamie, I have to say that I'm not worried about their selection. I'm sure we will get the perfect Claire. But because we don't have her, we don't know of her yet, I can say at least right now, truly the character that I would be the most worried about as far as them getting it right in general would be Claire. Because as much as Jamie is... the character most women like about this book, especially in the beginning, it is Claire's story. And it's from her
point of view. Well, she's first person, yeah.
Yeah. So it does revolve around both of them, but she's our narrator. I know we're in very good hands with Stars, and they have done an excellent job. And I am not worried about the choice of Claire, but I just have to say, we're still on Claire watch, by the way.
So a little bit back to the McKenzies. Mm-hmm. I think if you look at all the pictures side by side, and I think somebody on Twitter did do that. Maybe it was
like
Facebook,
a collage or something. Yeah.
Where they had all three of their pictures side by side. There is a bit of a resemblance between the three of them. I think they did a good job. So well done, Stars. Good job.
In other non-Stars casting news, fans have... someone has created the Twitter account for Donas the Horse. So,
I mean, what could he possibly be saying? Is it like Trigger, where you tell him to count and he like pads out two on the...
Hey, he's already had a little discussion with, or a Twitter chat with, I think with Sam, if not with some, at least with other fans. So it's all good.
I'm very concerned about this horse having a Twitter account.
Hey, there's Sock Puppet Claire. Donna's the horse.
Sock puppets don't have thumbs. How can they possibly have a Twitter account?
You don't have to type with your thumb. You have eight other fingers, or however many she has. I did not ask her.
Okay. In good fun. I love all these accounts. I think they're hilarious.
Yeah, I think they're funny, and one of the funniest ones is that Wee Jamie Fraser, or Wee James Fraser. He's a cheeky, kind of like Sam, maybe even a little bit more so. So yeah, he's cheeky and very funny.
Well, you're on Twitter a lot more than I am.
Yeah. Yes, that's true.
So, I mean, I follow stuff on Twitter, but I don't have a lot of interaction on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I guess I don't think I follow as many Outlander fans as you do.
Most likely not. I have, as I said in episode one, I have enough people, some of the cast and Stars related people, do I have to follow them? Do I have alerts set up for? I also have a number of fans, alerts for certain fans. And that's why I said in the last episode that, yes, when I have alerts on, it's either buzz buzz or ding ding all day long, because that pretty much once I get up till once I go to bed, I have to shut them off at bedtime. Otherwise, I will not get any sleep. But yeah, during the whole day, it's a busy, busy phone.
So I want to talk for a minute about the audiobooks. I know that not everyone has listened to the audiobooks, but please, if you haven't and you have access to borrowing them or even finding them cheaply, please do yourself a favor and listen to them. They have the most amazing reader that I've pretty much, I think she's the most amazing reader I've ever heard narrating these audiobooks. Her name is Davina Porter.
Well, hold on. I'm not trying to plug any other audiobooks, but you had me listen to Karen Marie Moaning. Freudian much? You had me listen to Karen Marie Moaning, some of the Fever series, and the gentleman...
Phil Gigante.
Phil, okay, that's his name. The gentleman who voices...
But she does hers a little differently, and that's okay. And it's good that you mention this,
because
the difference between the two is that Karen Marie Moaning has two readers. She has Phil Gigante, who will do all of the male voices, and she'll have, and I don't remember the woman, that's awful, but she has a woman, who I can't remember her name, who does all of the female voices. So you have a good pairing, because a lot of times when you listen to audiobooks, they have a female who's doing the whole book and does the male voices, and the male voices sound dumb. Or you have a guy doing all of the voices, and then his female characters sound dumb.
But the reason I brought up Phil Gigante?
Gigante.
The reason I brought up Karen Marie Moaning's Fever series is not to talk about it a lot here, but the audiobook specifically, wowza. The books are great. The books are fine. But that reader, again, I think the reason we don't remember the female reader is not that she's not good, but because Phil Gigante is ridiculously awesome. If you know about Jericho Barons, that's all I'm going to say. Wow. So when I first heard, Summer shared with me, when I first heard his voice on the audiobook, it was pretty amazing. Okay, so back to Outlander.
So that being said, when you go into an audiobook and there's one narrator, one reader, sometimes you're like, ugh, the male voices are going to be weird, or the female voices are going to be weird. But Davina Porter is amazing. She's amazing. Like, her men's voices are actually, they sound like men. I don't know how she does it. She's just got that great of a voice.
Yeah, and how people who read the books love Jamie. Typically, flat out love Jamie. So you may think if you're going to read an if you listen to an audiobook of something that you know you already like, you might be concerned that it's a female-only voice or a female reader, female voice artist. However, her doing Jamie, it doesn't sound overly masculine like.
It doesn't take anything away from
No.
The fear and when you have still, a female reader doing
exactly. So when you hear Davina Porter read Jamie, it is Jamie. It's not a female voice. You don't think of, oh my gosh, this is a female voice doing Jamie. It sounds very good. And she's very, very talented with accents and language and everything. The only thing I will say, and I've read about it, I've heard it firsthand, but I've read about it and I'm not the only one with this opinion, is that she seems to kind of fall in and out of, I guess you say English, maybe not British, but specifically English, an English accent to a somewhat American / I don't even know if I could call it Bostonian, but I think with Brie, she does so well with every stinking thing and every stinking book. I don't care about what she does with Brie. It doesn't bug me, but I can definitely.
So you're saying her Brie is inconsistent?
Well, it's not only not consistent. She kind of falls in and out of it. I think she kind of goes back towards the more British English accent in the more recent books that I've listened to. However, I know at the beginning of DIA, when we were first introduced to Brie, it was quote unquote much more American. Maybe it was more on her mind, mm-hmm. and she was she was purposely doing this American accent. It's just interesting.
I like to think that maybe it was a choice. Maybe it was a choice. And the only reason I say that is that I know for me personally, when I am surrounded by people with another accent, I have the habit of picking it up. And I don't know if it was a choice or not, but it could have been a choice. Maybe when her character interacts with more people who have the same accents, she gains more of a British accent. I know that when I was in the UK, I had a very hard time keeping an American accent but I had to make it a conscious effort because I was so afraid of insulting people.
Yeah.
So I was like, keep it together, keep it together. I lived in the South. I lived in Georgia for 5 years. I just, at a certain point, you give up and you just kind of adopt the accent. I had a thicker accent than my husband, who was from Georgia. He had like no accent, and I had a thicker accent than he did, which was ridiculous.
I don't know without asking Ms. Porter. I don't know if it was a conscious choice. I do know that from children of immigrants who grow up in a society where English may be their second language, but if they start, age is important, but there's not a cutoff age. But if they start young enough, whatever young enough is, if they start young enough in the schooling system of that new home country, they will grow up typically speaking the language that they are schooled in with the accent that they are schooled in. So even if their parents speak another language or speak the language that the child is being schooled in but have a heavy accent or a different accent, they will internalize the accent of the place of education, if that makes sense. That's what I understand from my studies. But absolutely, we don't know about Brie. We don't know how much time she spent in... Did they say it was? Was it her first trip?
Yeah,
to the UK.
That was the first time.
Okay, then. So she hadn't spent any time in the UK, but her parents were both
Brits.
Brits. So she definitely could. She had an ear for it. She would have had an ear for it from childhood. So she could have probably popped it on.
Turned it on.
Whatever. You know what I mean.
Okay, so this is non sequitur, but I desperately wanted my daughter to have an accent when she was little. I really wanted a British accent. I really wanted her to call me mummy, but she wouldn't. I tried hard. And then I tried, maybe she'll call me mama. No.
Again,
mommy.
It's about
straight up mommy.
It's about what you're surrounding. If you were the only person to give her linguistic input, she would have developed that, most likely. But since she had your friends and later her friends and her family, and then she started going to school, she's not being surrounded by that. She has much more input, and she's going to internalize and then thus produce the accent which she is around the most or
spoken
to the most.
So you're saying I need to move her to the UK?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying what I understand.
So bringing it back to the audiobooks.
Yes, they we also wanted to mention that two of the best ways that we know of to more affordably get a hold of the audiobooks, and that is, I'll tell you about mine and Summer will tell you how she got hers. I have not gotten all of them yet. I am doing the one a month club. I joined audible.com and I had 1 month for free. If I did their, whatever, I think it was the lowest membership level with one, is it a coin? One credit, I think. One coin or one credit per month. And I pay the first month was free. So my first book was free and that was Outlander. I pay $14.95 a month. They bill you monthly. And my plan is and you get one credit per month for that money. And you can spend it on anything. And all of Diana's books, I believe, are all one coin or one credit. So I've purchased two now. I'm about to purchase the third one. And you can go in any order you want. But it's $14.95. It comes out to being $14.95 per audiobook. And they're otherwise not that cheap. Is that right? If you got them with no discount at all.
Now, if you just got it from Audible, the Audible audio edition is $29.95.
Just for Outlander?
Just for Outlander.
Oh, I think other ones are more expensive, though. I've seen them more than that. But that's it. Are you on Audible?
No, this is Amazon.
Okay, so Amazon might be a little bit cheaper. But, so that would be my first thing. I also will say they have different programs or different discounts at different times. Audible, I started a membership and then canceled it because I was out of my mind. But the first one I started was a promotion for approximately $7.95 a month. I don't know if that would have continued, but at least the first month would have been $7.95. So I would have saved a little bit. But always keep an eye out for audible.com and their memberships. They will have offers, and it is the most affordable way that I knew of until I started the membership program and Summer told me about how she got hers.
Well, Amazon generally has a deal, and I'm trying to look it up right now to get me the specifics of it. I guess I should have done this ahead of time. But I know that if you buy the books on Amazon, and I think it's with Kindle, if you buy it on the Kindle, they will give you the option of adding the audiobook version for like a nominal fee. Like it's maybe
$2 or $3.
It might be a little more than that. Like I said, I'm trying to look it up right now. But
it has to be done at the time of purchase,
yeah,
right?
It has to be done at
you
the time
can't,
of purchase.
Yeah, unfortunately, you cannot go back and get the same deal.
Okay, I pulled it up. What it says is, because you own this Kindle book, you can add the professional narration of Outlander with bonus content for the reduced price of $3.99.
Yeah, so
$3.99. The book itself, Kindle price, is $6.99. So for, what is that? $6.99 plus $3.99.
So 7 plus 4 is 11, and there probably is tax.
Right.
So but there's no shipping. There's
under
no shipping.
$12. Under $12, you've got your Kindle book, and you've got the audiobook.
So the reason I didn't do that is because I took advantage, although they happen more than once. It will occur again, from what I understand. I took advantage of a deal to purchase a bundle of the audiobooks earlier this year, or I think it was maybe late last year, where you got all 7 of the books that have in the series thus far for $49.
You didn't get the audiobooks.
No. That's not what I'm saying.
Said
I got, okay, I got all 7 of the digital books. I got the Kindle for Kindle. Bundle. And I didn't, because it was, I saw an ad for buying the bundle of Kindle books for $49 approximately. So I did that. Now, there may or may not have been an option to add it if I had even known about it or tried to. But as a bundle, it typically, they may not do that.
I don't think, they don't do it with the bundle. Yeah. But they do it if you buy each individual book.
And the other thing about audiobooks, and this is the most important, because it will cover you. It will save you for everything, no matter where you get them. Because truly, even if you go through Audible and you spend $14.95, it's still a good deal. It truly is. Either way, you're getting a good deal. But with Amazon, you get the audiobook with the Kindle book. So that's good. And you know you don't have to have a Kindle. You're going to use a Kindle reader app on your phone, laptop, desktop or a tablet. But the most important thing, the number one rule about getting an audiobook, and even I think Diana Gabaldon herself would say this, get the unabridged version.
Duh. That's like the silliest thing you've ever said.
I just want to make sure that we don't exclude that.
I think anyone who listens to or reads the Outlander books knows better than to get an abridged version.
But some people may not look for that word, look for that term.
The more you know people, look for the term.
But it should say unabridged on...
For sure.
On each of the
I don't know why
versions.
Anyone would ever want something abridged.
Me either, but if...
Why do they even offer that option?
I don't know, but it's there.
Boo. So I think that everyone who reads the Outlander books can agree on several things. One, they're in love with Jamie Fraser. And two, they all want to go to Scotland.
If they haven't already been. And if they've already been, they want to go back.
Agreed.
There are Outlander tours.
There are, specifically for the Outlander series readers, where they'll take you, I believe, to a lot of the places that are mentioned in the books.
Maybe we could, in a future episode, talk to someone who's either been on one of those, or because I have not, or someone who runs them. I don't know. That's just an idea, but that would be interesting. So, Summer, have you been to Scotland? Silly question.
Well, yes, I have. No, it was actually...
It was actually a very funny, not funny, a pretty awesome way you got to go to Scotland.
It was.
It's really not fair.
It was pretty neat. And the thing is I read the books, when they came out. Not when they came out, but a while ago. And I always wanted to go, but I don't have a lot of spare income, if you will. So that was never just anything that was in the cards for me. And then we had a local radio station in Atlanta that started having a contest. I guess Delta Airlines had just started having international flights that would fly, all over the place. They used to, I guess, just be more domestic and not as international. But as part of the promo...
Delta's always been pretty much always been international. But maybe I think that may have been a new flight for them.
New destinations. Yeah. So as part of that promo, the radio station was giving away tickets to all of these new places that Delta was flying. And I try, if I can, and it doesn't take up too much of my time, I do try to enter contests because you never know if you're going to win or not, and I don't always win them. In fact, I rarely win them. But as I was listening to this, my gut instinct was to try to win everything. Just like, oh, I'm just going to call everything and try to win. And then this little voice inside of me was just like, don't be greedy. Don't be greedy. I'm just going to try and win the trip I really, really want. So I waited until I think it was one of the last tickets they gave away, the last prizes. And I waited and waited and waited. And then when I heard that they were ready to take callers towards, I guess what they did actually was they qualified people. They qualified like for 10-minute bracket of time. If you got through that radio station, they would qualify you. And then they would draw a name at the end of the week. And whoever's name it was, they would call back and you would be the one who won. So I was on my way to work and I had just gotten off of I think it was on MARTA. I was riding the train into the city and I stopped and I called and somehow I got through. There was a little blurb. You had to tell them why you switched to their radio station. So I told them why I switched to the radio station. And then that was it. And I went to work. No big deal. Well, a couple of days later, I got a phone call from an intern at the radio station that was saying, hey, we know you qualified for the trip. We just want to make sure that you're around because we're going to be giving the trip away in the next like 5 minutes. Mm. And I'm like, yeah, I'm around. I'm totally around. And so I'm lying wide awake now, next to my bed phone in my hand.
I'm sorry, did I miss that? What time was it?
It was like 6:30, 7 o'clock. Like they gave it away early in the morning.
What time did you go to work?
Well, it was a temp job that I'd gone to the day before, and I wasn't working that day.
Okay.
I was a temp for a while. Yay, temps. Anyway, one of my good friends, who was also my roommate at the time, also listened habitually to the radio station. So I knew that he was in his room listening at the same time. So as I'm sitting in my room, I'm holding my phone, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and then my phone rings again. And it's the radio station, and I have won 2 plane tickets to go to Edinburgh. At this point, I'm all excited, but I'm holding it in. I'm trying to be calm, cool, and collected. Screaming from his bedroom, my roommate Charles comes screaming in the background. Like he was like 12 jillion times more excited than I was, and I'm like trying to calm him down. And
oh my goodness.
Anyway, it was really funny, but so I ended up taking the trip. We went in May, and we spent about 3 weeks. We were planning on just going to Scotland, but because for whatever reason, they weren't flying quite into Edinburgh yet. Like I could fly into Edinburgh with that ticket if I wanted to wait till like June, but I really wanted to go in May. May was what was going to work for me. So I asked them, well, where can I fly to in May? And they said, well, in May you can fly to Gatwick. So you can fly into London. So we ended up flying into London and then driving. And
didn't you also, even though they were not the recipients of the tickets, didn't you also meet up with another good friend who went with you?
Yeah, we had some friends meet us out there. Mm. It was fun. But we drove up to Edinburgh and we spent, I think we were in London for a week. We were in Edinburgh for like a week and a half. And then we drove back to London for the last few days before we flew back. But I loved it. I couldn't have been there. I wanted to stay longer. In fact, we didn't actually get to even get up to the Highlands, which was unfortunate. But, you know, that's what I guess I'd like to do on the next trip, next time I go over, which I'm hoping isn't too, too far away. But there's a lot of saving that's going to have to happen before that'll happen. But
yep, a lot of savings.
Beautiful.
Some bills to pay off and
word
other things. Yes, I've also spent a little time in Scotland.
Just a little.
Just a little bit. I was fortunate enough to spend a year in Scotland studying at a university, and it was easily one of the best years of my life. Yes, there was studying and there was work to do, but I did have not a ton of money because let's face it, it was on student loans, but I had a little bit of excess cash I could use to do a little bit of travel. I spent the first reading week in the fall of that year going up to Inverness. I think I was there for 2 or 3 nights, and I just went by myself. I actually asked around, would someone like to go? And there were a few interested. I had made some new friends. I had just been there for barely a month or so, maybe 2 months, month and a half. And I had made some friends, because people had their own plans or they were already going to be going home or what have you. So I just decided, you know what? I'm not going to let the fact that I don't have someone to go with keep me back, because who knows if I'd come back to Scotland or take another chance that same year to go back up to the Highlands. So I didn't go too, too far into the Highlands, but I did make it to Inverness. I was able to go to Culloden, take some beautiful, very sad, but beautiful pictures of the battlefield and some of the stones. I also got to see the Clavicairns. Just at sundown or just at sunset, I got a taxi driver who pitied me to take me out to Clavicairns and hold the taxi for me while I ran out and took some pictures and ran right back. I did, probably one of the highlights, and I don't know if he's still there. This was quite a few years ago. But one of the highlights of that trip, believe it or not, was I stayed at a youth hostel. I recommend youth hostels wherever possible, especially when traveling alone. You can get your own room. You can sleep in a dorm, but you can also get your own room as long as they're not booked. And you can also get doubles. But it's a very, very affordable, especially as a student, a very affordable way to travel. I met some other people at the youth hostel there in Inverness, and someone had mentioned in the travel center that there was this nighttime tour led by a guy named Davy the Ghost. I'm not kidding. I'm sure Davy the Ghost might still be there. Of course, it was a human being, full bodied sounds wrong, but he
corporeal.
Very corporeal and
alive.
Very nice. Yeah, very much alive. And it was a little freaky though, because you're supposed to meet, I don't think you even met him. You paid for it earlier and then you came back to the spot, I think like at 9 p.m. and he took us on a walk around the town, and it was a little freaky, but it was really, really interesting. If you ever have a chance to do any of this, and they're all over, they're in the U.S. too. I think a lot of countries in major cities, they'll have like a nightly ghost tour or something, but it's a lot of fun. Usually it's a local or at least a national someone up from that country who is there giving the tour. And I always have a good time. I really want to do the Edinburgh one because I know they have the, not subterranean, but underground.
I think it is the underground.
Edinburgh. It's just, and it truly was, I'm not sure if it was because of over the centuries it's been built up because of on purpose, or if it was built underground on purpose. I'm not sure. I can research that later, but I'd like to see the Edinburgh one. But that was one of the highlights of that trip, was Davy the Ghost and the nighttime ghost tour. Another good thing about staying at a hostel is that, especially if you're alone, yes, you always have to be careful. I'm not saying not to be careful, but if you're a party of one or two and you're at a hostel, you're typically there with people who are there also traveling, especially if you're younger. And it's a lot easier to approach people at something like that. If you're in a hotel or B&B, you know, you're going to be very well taken care of. But you may not mingle much with people. And this is especially since I traveled alone. But it was a really, really nice trip. But that was just one of the trips I was able to take.
So I guess that's about all we have time for this week in our second episode of the Outlander podcast.
Thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to our next episode.
Thank you to our generous audio host, Audioboom.com. Our Audioboom channel is www.audioboom.com/channel/Outlander Pod. Visit our website at www.outlanderpod.com. Follow us on Twitter at Outlander Pod. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Outlander Pod, or email us at outlanderpod@gmail.com.